the Koshcast, returning to your ears like a mosquito on a camping trip. The Premier League needs a straitjacket this weekend, as it has been certifiably mental. At Carrow Road, it was a case of Norwich player will score next, as Liverpool shambles their way past the Canaries. Leicester head back to the top as they stoke the fires of their title bid. West Ham bring out their inner warrior to hold City. Crystal Palace take a ticket at the deli counter, and Arsenal finally get over the Chelsea hoodoo, Rafflecopter. Elsewhere, we've got a touch of La Liga, a glance at PSG, and a Moomoo segment so funny you'll have Ronaldo abs from giggling so much. See! Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast. You're not hearing your British accent today because Alex isn't here, and there isn't a slight Canadian Indian accent going on later because Roche isn't here.
Yep.
So it's myself and Mohamed Khair.
How would you describe my accent?
It's crap.
Yeah, just like that. All right, I could take that. Yeah, we do miss Alex and Roche today. I think you did try your best with the intro, though. Good job with that one.
I have to say it was written by Alex, so if there are any ghostwriting allegations, Meek Mill, please leave me alone. It's all good.
But yeah, we did promise the listeners that we would update them on our championship game last week.
Campione. That's all the update they need,
right? Yeah. Well, that was a tight game. What, 4-3, I think it was?
Let me just say that, Mohamed, you deserve the plaudits. Mohamed had a dead leg. It was hilarious. He was receiving treatment before the game. Yeah. He passed his fitness test, thanks to Sarah, and scored a wonderful hat trick. And with some crazy defending at the end, we managed to hold on for the win. 4-3 champions.
Right back at you, man. I think you held the defense there all on your own at one point. It was just Bernie running around chasing anything and everything that moves. It was brilliant to see. But given that, I mean, just going up a notch in quality, we can start talking about
just
the Premier League.
Just a little bit.
Let's start at Arsenal versus Chelsea, which was the game of the weekend. People were looking forward to this one. Not so much Arsenal fans, to be honest, because there's a long kind of history of Chelsea being that hoodoo team, that bogey team, and nothing changed today. Costa starting off the game in Costa fashion, getting a player sent off, not for, you know, a fight this time, but for quite a good run behind the defense.
I thought, why does he have so much space? I mean, Arsenal were playing a very high line at that point.
Yeah.
And Costa's not the fastest of players. So, and there's no Hazard. Maybe they thought, you know, we can actually
put pressure. But everyone relative to Per is the fastest player.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He was smart. He picked on Per's side.
Yeah.
And the through ball came in. And at first, you know, it was a little bit of a struggle. He got past him. And yes, Costa is going on goal. Per, in my opinion, I'm not a big fan. I've started to appreciate him slightly more, but I'm still not a big fan, and this is one of the reasons why. I think he lost his head and made a poor choice.
Right.
He did not have to lunge at him and make that challenge. It was not necessary.
And you know what? Obviously, everyone's going to talk about the red card as the turning point in this game, the before and after the red card. But to me, if we take a step back and talk about before the red card, I thought Chelsea were still the better team for 18 or so minutes. They had the possession of the Emirates. They were passing it around. The trident of Cesc, Matic, and Mikel was so solid, because what Mourinho used to play is only one of Matic or Mikel, and the one huge difference that Gus Hiddink has brought in is playing both Mikel and Matic, with Fabregas at number 10, as opposed to, let's say, Oscar Fabregas and one of them. And that really showed. Fabregas had much more space, much more freedom to do his thing, and he played great for the first 18 minutes, which
I have to agree.
In turn, Chelsea looked very good.
I think it was, even though, yes, we have seen Matic and Mikel start, I think in this particular game, they must have received specific instructions to those guys, you know, sit a little bit deep. And that was to negate the effect that Ozil would have in that pocket of space. And I think they did that very, very well in those opening 20 minutes, which allowed them to transition into Arsenal's side of the pitch and dominate, like you said, because you never see that happen at the Emirates.
No, I agree. And people, I mean, more teams need to realize you stop Ozil, you stop any kind of creativity from Arsenal's point of view, especially when Sanchez is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's both of them, so it's hard to keep both quiet. But without Sanchez, all you literally have to do is stand on Ozil's feet and nothing happens all game, right?
Do you think that, like, do you agree with me, or do you have, what's your opinion on the challenge itself? Did he, I mean, some people say there's no contact, whatever. In my opinion, you can't have a discussion about whether that's a red card or not. For me, the question is, should he have lunged in like that?
Okay, so This I've looked at it so much, and there's so many layers to just those 2 seconds of football. It's insane. So first of all, Mertesacker makes the lunge as a last man. Costa goes down. The ref obviously looks at that and goes, 100% red card, whatever. Koscielny wasn't close enough and all that. When I look at it again, I agree it's a red. I don't take the red away. But you analyze it a bit more, and Costa takes that touch. Mm-hmm. And then he takes a couple of steps. There's no contact. Fine. He takes a couple of steps. And I think he decides that the touch was a little bit long. I think Costa makes that conscious decision and goes, you know what? This is better if I just go here. And he drops himself. I don't think the contact dropped Costa. So technically, what is a dive? A dive is when there's not enough contact to send you down. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of both. It's one, Costa being smart, and two, Mertesacker being an idiot.
I think it's also a matter, I mean, people say there's no contact. Sometimes these replays are not. Like, right. Like we know when we're playing football, and we're running at speed, and any little thing, it could be like a little clip is enough to send you down. And people say, get up, and then you start arguing over things.
Agreed.
I think there's probably a bit of contact, but for me, the question is, why are you making that? Like, I see it too many times in football where there's, like, firstly, he's not defensively aware because he doesn't know Koscielny's coming across the other side. Mm-hmm. Maybe Koscielny doesn't catch him, but I think you have better to trust your goalkeeper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if Costa's going to beat you there, let him. Right. Let your keeper.
Well, the question
you still have a chance to come back in the game even if he scores.
Did Mertesacker make a bad decision? Did Mertesacker actually think he was going to get the ball? That is the question for him, because there's no way he was going to get that ball. So it really depends on whether I'm just going to go for Costa, or I actually thought I was going to get the ball, which I think is a bad decision either way.
Yeah, I think it's poor decision-making.
The other thing that really comes up from that red card is the Giroud substitution. A lot of talk is, should Giroud have been the one that come off? Should it have been a Campbell? I mean, what do you think? I think, obviously, Arsene Wenger, after the game, qualified that by saying, well, if we're going to be 10 men down, it's going to be on the counter at this point. We're not going to be keeping any possession. So keep your fastest players in the wingers, Campbell and Theo, on the field. Others are saying, well, no, when you're actually down to 10, you want someone to hold the ball up from the long kicks and bring in people into the game. So there's really two ways, and I agree with both. You just got to pick one.
I don't usually, but I agree with Arsene Wenger this time. I think what Arsenal needed, and you actually saw it a lot in the game, it was just timing was off. Mm-hmm. When Theo would make those runs, and when Ozil did get the ball, he would play it through. Theo was offside all the time.
Yes.
And I think that was the correct tactic, because when you're with 10 men, you can only play on the counter. You need to stretch the other team. If Giroud holds up the ball, who is he really playing into those spaces?
If Theo's not there, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think he made the right move.
I agree in the sense that we saw it kind of work with the Ozil to Theo combination happen 3-4 times. Theo unlucky with the offsides, but you're right. That wouldn't have happened had Theo been off. Overall, Theo had a horrible game, but that's all in hindsight at this moment.
Flamini missed a lot of chances,
too. Oh, man. But that's what people used to. They're saying, if that wasn't Flamini there at the end of those balls, if that was Giroud, the outcome might have been a bit different, but obviously, all in hindsight. Anyways, the game went on, and overall, Arsenal didn't play horribly for being 10 men down against, you know, on paper, a good team. Costa scored from an Ivanovic cross. Mm-hmm. A lot of confusion in the box between Koscielny, Flamini, and Gabriel with who should have picked him up.
I think it was the substitution just happened. Yeah. So it was a lot of, but props to Costa for getting 6 goals in 6 games or something like that.
He's been on fire,
I think he wanted Mourinho gone, and he showed that, and now he's been playing a lot better. But I do want to criticize Chelsea, because I thought the second half performance from Chelsea was absolutely pathetic.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Pathetic. When you have 11 against 10, they should have gone for the kill in this game. Mm-hmm. And you saw that there was a lot of space, a lot of runs where even when Hazard came on, they made the wrong choice, and Remy just disgusted me in this match. I used to like him. He eradicated every piece of goodwill I had for him in this match. It was horrendous.
I agree. Chelsea was really a game of two halves, as people like to say. Chelsea first half, absolutely magnificent. Second half, that comes with the confidence, though, where you think, you know what, we haven't been the best recently, let's just hold on here and get our 3 points. Sanchez coming on had a huge impact on the way Arsenal played. You could see it. He was back from injury. This is his first time playing in a couple of months, and he tried to take on the whole game himself. Had Sanchez come on maybe right after the red card, maybe for a Walcott, I think Arsenal could have nicked a goal here, because he had a huge impact. There was a couple of chances, and you know, the positive here from Arsenal's point of view is that Sanchez is back, he's raring to go, and hopefully Coughlin is back next week too, and things start to look a bit on the up. The only thing I gotta say at the end of this is, I mean, Arsenal haven't scored a goal in 9 hours against Chelsea in the league. Can you imagine an Arsenal fan watching 9 hours of football? and not seeing a goal go in.
It's not good enough. And you didn't score against Stoke last week.
Yes.
Who, you know, we might as well talk about them in the context of the league leaders now.
Of course, of course. Leicester. I mean, when you see, forget about watching the game, forget about the contest, you just watch Leicester 3, Stoke 0. What a result. Like, I mean, Stoke have been so hard to beat this season. And there we go. We have Leicester, who people are like, they're going to fall off eventually, are beating them 3-0. That's unbelievable.
You know the thing about Stoke that I really enjoy? Leicester, that I really enjoy? And we'll get onto this in terms of playing styles at Manchester United. But they play the way that I grew up watching Manchester United play.
Right.
And the way I grew up loving the sort of English game and why I like the English Premier League. They don't give a damn.
No.
They have speed. And they use it, you know, from the wings. They cross the ball. They play through balls. They just play with this creativity, and they dare to dream. It's amazing.
Leicester do something very well, which is the two center mids are as solid as you can make them in Drinkwater and Kante. They have been unbelievable. Kante has been one of the signings of the season, if not the signing of the season. Drinkwater next to him has been so solid all season. I mean, they're keeping the guy from Napoli on the bench.
Inler.
Exactly. So you've got two center midfielders who are so, so solid, and all they do is spray the passes out to the fast guys, to the Vardys, to the Mahrez, to the Albrightons. So that just works so well. When you can be so confident in center mid, everything else flows through them.
It's also a case of, I mean, we saw how this team last year, and we've talked about countless number of times, how pathetic they looked at points last season. Mm-hmm. And they were going down, and then they had this belief. And the thing is, there is something within these group of guys. Yes. I don't know what it is. I think they really, really all like each other. Mm-hmm. And that dressing room really is together, because they're bringing out something in each other that is beyond their level. Because I don't care what anyone tells me.
Yeah.
Riyad Mahrez, I think he's a great player.
But he's not, he's good. Yes.
But Riyad Mahrez will not go from Leicester and go to Barcelona and all of a sudden start uprooting trees.
I think that what you're talking about, how them being a good team and kind of a good, I mean, relationship with each other, I think that really showed in their off-season trip to Asia. Yeah,
they really bonded.
I think they really bonded there really well. But back to specifically this game, Drinkwater was my man of the match with a goal and an assist. He was incredible. Vardy is back scoring. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done so in a few games. Clearly, I mean, that's because I took him off my fantasy Premier League.
Me too.
Mahrez, that third assist. I mean, it wasn't the assist itself. It was the piece of skill right before. I watched that on loop maybe 30 times.
I mean, we've been talking about that for
yes,
forever since we saw it. It's just the audacity. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I've always thought. I love a player that has the audacity to just try things.
Right.
And just trade things that seem crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what that was. Why would you do an Elastico and a Nutmeg at the same time?
Yes.
You see Elastico just to create space.
Yes.
But the Elastico Nutmeg, mm-hmm, I don't think I've seen that, mm-hmm, ever, honestly.
So with Arsenal losing, Leicester winning, and then we're going to get to the City draw against West Ham now, it is the second weekend in a row where it's Leicester's weekend. And it's looking good for them right now, because Arsenal, like we said, who wants to win the league? Clearly, Arsenal haven't won in like four games. City can barely get anything past the draw. And now Leicester are the ones that are putting their results through. So, you know what? They are in this as much as anyone else at this point.
I doubt it. And it was kind of this hopeful, you know, just this hope
denial
that I had.
It was denial.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, I remember Roche was saying, you know what, if Man United can't win it, I want Leicester to win it. And that's exactly how I feel.
Of course, of course. The neutrals who don't have kind of a stake in the title this season obviously want Leicester to win it. So moving on to City, they drew with West Ham, and we know how bad City are away from home.
Mm-hmm.
West Ham scored in like the first minute of the game, Enner Valencia scoring there. And then it looked like, okay, West Ham are gonna you know, take another big scalp one more time, but this time at home. But Aguero really stepped up for City this game.
He did. I mean, he stepped up in attack when the defense looked like absolute.
Otamendi.
He had a shocker of a game. And this is the thing, I don't believe that it's a matter of Otamendi being bad. I have this feeling that there are certain managers that don't know what they're doing in organizing a defense.
Yeah.
Because someone that has looked as solid as Otamendi has at times in the Premier League and in Valencia makes stupid errors. Like,
yeah.
Jose Mourinho, for example, knew how to train his guys and get them focused all the time, that they hardly made errors, if you notice them.
Yeah.
But Otamendi, on the first goal, I don't know where he was.
Second goal,
I really didn't know where he was.
I love the jokes on Twitter where there's like, Otamendi left Valencia twice, once to join City and once for him to score that goal. But yes, Otamendi was shocking. Even though he has been one of their best defenders lately, the stat that's crazy is that the last 23 goals that City... Well, out of all 23 goals that City have conceded this season, 22 of them have been when Kompany hasn't been on the field, which is crazy. And then when I told you that stat, you went, well, yeah, last season they wish he never played.
Seriously,
it's because crazy he was how absolutely horrible
last season.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, Valencia scored two. Aguero scored two. The penalty was a very clear penalty. Jenkinson loves giving penalties away. Sam Byram, who's their new right back signing, played an unbelievable game. He played really, really well. I was quite impressed.
And we'll get to Martinez. But he was supposed to go to Everton. Mm-hmm. And somehow Martinez said, you know, we weren't interested in him. I'm like, after on that evidence, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Because he looked brilliant.
He looked brilliant. And the one thing I liked is around the 75th, 80th minute, he pulled up with a calf. He pulled his calf. Mm-hmm. And that's just clear. It just shows you the pace of the Championship versus the pace of the Premier League. Mm-hmm. You know, you play your first... Because he came on, what? Very early.
And Cresswell, I keep being impressed by Cresswell. Yep. He is great, and he has a good cross on him.
Oh, too. Yeah. Song was amazing this game. I thought Song played very well until the last goal where he kind of was...
Did he play better with or without his eyewear?
Yeah, I don't know. His eyewear was very cool. He thought he was Edgar Davids there for a second.
It was like really bug-eyed. Really
big and it was weird. It was weird. Payet. Oh, boy. Oh, the speed of the feet, the vision, that he played an unbelievable game as well. I'm really enjoying him.
It makes me sad. Mm. It makes me just sad to see. He does what he wants.
Right.
Like, it's that type of thing that I love a player that you just tell him, go do whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah.
And he
has that ability.
It's fantastic to see.
The other thing is, it's a bit scary to see how City are still kind of within touching distance. They're still really in that title race, even though they're not playing their best. I mean, out of their star players, Silva, Yaya, let's say, and Aguero, only Aguero played this game.
Mm-hmm.
Silva and Yaya were horrendous.
They're talking about De Bruyne, who we didn't really see.
Exactly.
And Sterling, we didn't see either.
Exactly. None of them did anything but Aguero. Mm-hmm. Their defense was in shambles. And they still come away with a point. They're still up there. So I think City have... It's theirs to lose, I feel. It's just they're not pushing. They're not going into that next gear, which would just easily get them the title.
The problem with City is that we've said it for a long time. They're going to get it together. They're going to get it together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of reminding me of, I think it was two seasons ago when they won, and Arsenal were on top for God knows how long. And then you bottled it, and they just took over. And you have that feeling that they're too good not to get together, but they're not.
But City have never steamrolled the league. Mm-hmm. When they won and Liverpool were on top, it was barely, and Liverpool bottled it. When Arsenal bottled it, when United bottled it with Aguero, that Aguero final goal.
8 points with the last five games.
Exactly. Left. They've never steamrolled the season, and that's weird seeing their talent. Anyways, we'll see how they do this season. I mean, my money's still on City, to be honest, but we'll see how that goes. Next, let's talk about game of the week in hindsight was Norwich-Liverpool. Wow. I mean, this was a 7:30 a.m. game. This is the first time I haven't woken up for a 7:30 a.m. game in my life. I was just too tired the night before, and I thought, you know what? It's Norwich-Liverpool. I'm not going to wake up. And then I woke up to check the result, and I was like, what happened?
I saw the back end of this game.
Yeah.
And my God, was it worth it. In fact, I remember the halftime score. I still didn't wake up to watch. I woke up, I saw the halftime score. I was like, nah, it's all good. It was 2-1. To Norwich.
And then 3-1 eventually.
And then 3-1, so I'm like, I'm going back to sleep, right?
Yes.
I woke up and I saw the end. It was 4-3.
To Liverpool.
Yeah, 4-3 Liverpool. And I was like, what is going on? And then I think it was Bassong.
Left-footed, like, brilliant strike.
What a goal. I did not think he could even do that in training.
No chance.
Think it was possible.
No chance.
Then this is my problem. Okay. Liverpool win 5-4.
Okay.
Great. The goal that Lallana scored was horrendous. I hate it. I remember when I asked you guys, do you think that players hit it into the ground on purpose? No, he did not. And this is just, that goal shows you just how trash of a player Adam Lallana is. And again, it's not one of these players that I used to like, I wanted to sign, and then I was proven wrong.
Right.
It was trash. And he took off his shirt, they're running around.
Klopp was signaling him to celebrate together. Benteke broke Klopp's glasses. You know what? I think this is what Klopp's really going to bring to the Premier League. It's that kind of passion. When they conceded 4-4, Klopp was swearing in every language he knew. He was throwing punches around. He was so mad. And then when the 5-4, he went from like absolute depression to just euphoria in a matter of minutes. And you know what? Liverpool, well done. You get your 3 points. Other teams haven't. I mean, Arsenal haven't. City haven't. United haven't. So, you know what? You get your 3 points. You celebrate.
Have to give them credit. Yes, I have to give them credit for keep on going. Because if they didn't win this game, you know, coming off the United loss and then making a comeback, coming to 4-3 and then 4-4, if that had ended 4-4, I think their season would have really...
I mean, the fact that they were 3 down to Norwich was bad enough. Naismith scoring a goal, so coming from Everton, Norwich's new signing. Firmino, for me, has had an incredible month, let's say. Last 3-4 games, he has been unbelievable, keeping Benteke on the bench. He played so well, scoring 2, assisting 1. This game, I think he's really starting to slowly grow into it. I didn't think he would come and play as a false nine or a striker. You know, I thought he would be more of an attacking mid, but clearly...
I do think... Yeah, exactly. Firmino has done well. Firmino was a Rodgers signing. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Now, but this game, it was a terrible advertisement for the Premier League. I mean, you can score a lot of goals all you want, but the football on the show was crap. Yeah. But I think Jurgen Klopp has now realized the complete shambles of what Liverpool Football Club has been, because he has nothing to work with.
No. He really doesn't.
People are talking about United needing to this needs to just burn it down and start again.
No.
Because again, if Amlalana is starting every game, you are benching Benteke, you need to really
either he works to bring these players back to form, or he really needs to reset the whole thing. Either way, Milner scored. Henderson as well chipped in finally, because, I mean, the chances he missed against United, he must have been having a terrible week. Now, a team that is really on form is Spurs. They get results. 2, they look good doing it. Mm-hmm. And 3, they're doing it with the youngest squad in the Premier League. And it's quite impressive. Being a Spurs fan right now must be a lot of fun, because they went 1-0 down to Crystal Palace, own goal by Vertonghen early on in the game. And the confidence that is running through the team and right now is that, you know what? Everybody watching was like, not a big deal. Spurs will come back into this game and win it. And that's exactly what they did.
I think that Spurs fans are a little bit... I mean, they live in the now.
Right.
Like, and maybe they have to. Because this team, for me, like you said, they're young. They play well. They have this team. It's a little bit like how I said... Leicester, they have this togetherness about them.
Yeah.
I feel that here, and everyone is going in the same direction. But this isn't... It feels unique, but it's not. This is a team that had Gareth Bale, Van der Vaart, Modric. They've done the kind of world-class-ish type of scenario, and now they're doing the young... And that was great, too. They have finished fourth twice.
Mm-hmm.
They've done well. They've always finished fifth, I think,
in the last couple of years. I'd say they're in the title race right now. They're only, what, 2 points away from Arsenal City? Sure, maybe 5 from Leicester, but they're in there. And I mean, their fans would love nothing more to finish above Arsenal. And being 2 points behind at this point of the season, it's very doable. They could have a great season.
Here's the question. As much as I love Spurs, and I've actually said on record that I think Pochettino, I hope he would manage United. But I think the one thing that's interesting is Spurs' form and Spurs' upturn this season is also directly correlated to the pathetic state of the top four contenders. Because, again, if you had that team with Bale and all these guys that now is forgotten, and bring that team here...
They should win this league,
in my opinion.
I know
this
what
you team
mean.
Is good, and they're doing very well. But if City, Arsenal, United with the money that they've spent, you know, these teams... And especially in terms of these teams don't want to win this league, apparently.
Right.
If they were doing what they were supposed to do...
Yeah.
What would you be saying about this team?
You know what? I agree with you in a sense, but also I got to give credit to Spurs because they've lost like twice all season or something. So they've been unlucky with the draws as well.
Mm-hmm.
You could look at it the other way. If some of those unlucky draws were wins, they would be top of the table.
Very
like,
true.
You know, they deserve to be there. They're not pretenders, is what I'm trying to say. They deserve to be where they are. And
when you score goals like Dele Alli scored,
what a goal that was. I mean, it was... And it was a crucial moment, too. It was a goal to take them 2-1 up. It wasn't just, you know, at the end of a 4-0 win.
Here's my question. He's, what, 18?
Yeah.
19?
Barely 19,
something like that.
Yeah.
And he has the confidence... He reminds me, and I don't mean it in
talent
version yet. He reminds me of Paul Pogba at that age.
Right.
Because when Paul Pogba was, you know, going... When he was even at United, and then that whole transition to Juventus, he was trying things that... People were like, who the hell are you?
Who do you think you are? Yeah.
And that's exactly what Dele Alli's doing with the chest control, one-time finishes, this goal.
He's that Vieira type of player. He's got those lanky legs, he strides on, and he's really true box-to-box. And he's been unbelievable. Him, Kane, Dyer at defensive mid, so many good players. What's his name? Right back. Walker has really stepped up this season because we always say he's a defensive shambles. Started really bad off of the first game against United. Rose has stepped up. Everybody's really stepped up. Like,
my question here is, I wondered this. I mean, when Rooney came onto the scene, you know, at 16, and after Europe's performance, there was this new English hero thing. I get that. Deserved it.
Sure.
Whatever. Harry Kane had last year this new England hero thing. I don't understand why Dele Alli doesn't get the same hype for the English national team. Or maybe they've all learned their lessons from this, you know, future England hero nonsense.
I know.
Maybe that's it. But Dele Alli, if he deserves at least that level of hype.
He will play. He will play for England in the Euros. That's for sure. He will. And the reason he's not getting that type of hype is, one, he's plays for Spurs. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's just the fact. Mm-hmm. Two, he hasn't been involved that much yet in the England setup. He scored that really one goal
against France.
Yeah, against France. So he's slowly gonna take his position in the team. But you're right, and I'd rather it be that way. Mm-hmm. Enough with the putting huge burdens on these young players, mm-hmm. and let them just grow into it. And I think I was telling an Arsenal fan, Dele Alli, I think if he grows on to be a Tottenham legend or whatever, he's gonna be one of those players that even as an Arsenal fan, it's going to be hard to hate. The guy is hardworking. He's a nice kind of guy. He doesn't, his game is just about being skillful and doing the right thing. I think it's going to be very hard to hate him as a player.
Yeah, until he goes to Real Madrid.
Yeah, until he goes to Real Madrid. Now, United. So this was Koeman versus Van Gaal. Mm-hmm. A lot of rumors that Van Gaal is thinking about leaving. It's affecting his personal life, his health, blah, 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 all that good stuff. Mourinho's writing letters to United saying, I can change for you, baby, all that good stuff. This game didn't help.
No.
Quite boring, I think.
I wrote this on Twitter, that this was the worst first half I've ever seen.
Right.
In any league.
Until the next one.
Yeah. And this guy was like, what about the last one? I said, it gets worse every single time.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what it is. And, you know, people talk about players and talk about this, and I honestly feel that these guys don't believe in him and don't believe in each other as a result. I mean, this is a manager who didn't give Victor Valdez a club number.
Right.
Didn't give him a place in the locker room. He sent him away. How are, his buddies in the locker room supposed to feel about the manager? Yeah. Like, if we were professionals and manager was like, oh, Mo, you're not going to play anymore, I'd be like, in the back of your head, you're not going to believe in this guy.
Because even if you don't care about that guy who's being treated that way, you think, well, I could get treated that way eventually.
Like, and it happens that, look at Di Maria, he was talking about the same thing that he fell out with
Rojo.
Van Gaal. Stuff happens all the time. And for me, it's a poisonous environment to be in. And it translates onto the field. Now you have players who are afraid because they're not trying to do anything.
They're not trying to express creativity because you're like, I'm just going to play the easy pass here because I don't want to get booed. Well, the atmosphere also in the stadium is poisonous. Mm-hmm. The fans are booing the team at halftime. The fans are booing LVG at full time. When that's happening, you don't want to try that creative pass, that creative chip, that back heel. No, you're like, I'm just going to pass it sideways, and I'm not going to be the reason why this attack broke down. And then eventually, that doesn't help with scoring goals. And okay, the other thing was Ronaldo was back for, I mean, Januzaj, sorry. Because there's a million next Ronaldos.
I was like, really? I got excited for a second.
So Januzaj was back. What do you think of his performance? Does he still have a spot in the squad?
I think that under Van Gaal, no.
Okay.
I honestly believe that if let's say someone like Ryan Giggs or David Moyes was still manager, specifically on Januzaj, I think he'd be a great player.
Right.
Because I think Januzaj is a type of precocious talent that needs someone to just say, go do whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, express yourself and be who you want to be. This, you have wingers. You have Memphis Depay. Mm-hmm. You have Januzaj. If you want to talk about Di Maria from back then, guys who just want to play.
Yeah.
And you have them who are being told, if you misplace a pass, I'm going to be upset.
Yes, exactly.
What are they supposed to do?
Right.
This is why I want this guy to go.
Mm-hmm. More specifically to this game, Austin, the new signing for Southampton, for $4 million.
I love him. Yeah. I actually like him.
I mean, for $4 million, that's literally free. In today's world, that's free.
You see what Alan Pardew did not want in Austin?
Exactly.
That's exactly what he gets.
Austin came on in like the 70th or 80th minute, and he scored the winner from a corner kick delivered in by Beckham.
Beckham and Ronaldo were on the pitch today.
Yes.
On opposite sides.
Yeah, Worth Prowse loves that Beckham look. At the end of the day, very good 3 points for Southampton.
The only other thing I can say is, and we mentioned it earlier before the podcast, I said, there are 15 games to go, right? It's still a long time. And United have been, in my opinion, they are 3 points worse off than Moyes' first season, where they were seventh at that point.
Shows you how
now
bad
they are fifth, 5 points behind Tottenham, seven points now behind Arsenal. This does not seem insurmountable in any way.
No.
So now, guys, is the time. If you're listening to me, David Gill, which apparently he said is underwhelming and this is not up to par with the expectations, get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
Bring in Jose Mourinho.
I saw a really, really good tweet. United fan was like, it got to the point where the guy who is not sacking Van Gaal needs to get sacked. You know what I mean? Like, you got to take it a step up now.
It's gone to the point where people like me, who wrote articles and said, I do not want Jose Mourinho as my manager, is begging and crying for Jose Mourinho.
Let's go through the last four games of the weekend really quickly. Villa 0, West Brom 0. A couple of things here. Villa getting another point. Five now out of their last nine. It might be a bit too late, but they're putting a string of results together. They are on form, as Sunderland are sometimes. That's the shit I used to say about Sunderland. Yes. So I'm impressed by that. Being a West Brom fan right now must be depressing. Haven't gotten a shot on target in like a few games now. Barely score goals. Like, it's boring.
We should run a poll of which fans are more depressed.
Yes.
United, let's say Chelsea,
Villa,
and Villa fans.
Yeah.
Or at some point Swansea fans, but they're on the up now.
Yeah. So many depressed fans this season.
Everton are probably really depressed right now.
Yes, yes. Speaking of that, Everton did lose to Swansea. It was a weird game. First half, all Swansea played really well, blah, blah, blah. Second half, Everton had a bazillion chances to score a goal. Coleman missing two, Lukaku fluffing a couple. And I was sitting there, I put Lukaku as captain fan this, but I'm like, he's going to score three. It's Swansea. They've been
horrible. Could have scored three.
Oh, man, like, unbelievable.
And Coleman was a disgrace. His finishing was unbelievable. Yeah. That last one, literally the last kick of the game. This is not an exaggeration. It's him, the goalie, the ball's in the air. There is no reason for him to miss, and he shanked it over the bar.
It was harder to miss.
But more importantly, their defense was a disgrace.
Howard and Stones.
Stones, I love him, but what were you doing?
But Howard, why is he backing away from the pass? If Howard just takes a few steps forward, he kicks that out. But Howard like doesn't realize that anyone's coming.
Maybe he didn't. I mean, the pass was shocking in the first place.
It was.
But Martinez, to me, fraudulent. I keep saying it. He does not know how to organize a defense. He's never known how to do it. And then look what's happening. But they're 12th with this team.
They look great up top, though. They look great. I mean, De La Feo looks unbelievable.
I mean, I know sometimes people like the top, some people like the back.
Yeah.
I like to have everything
right.
in one piece.
You're a whole kind of man. Exactly. I like that. Very nice. Watford 2, Newcastle 1. Igalo again, in the middle of everything. Assists, goals, running the plays. He's been phenomenal for the team, and he's the reason they are where they are and kind of comfortable in the middle.
As much as Troy Deeney likes to assume that he's really important.
Yeah. Yes. Troy Deeney without Igalo would look so bad. Sunderland 1, Bournemouth 1. A Phobie Acrobat again for the second week running.
Great piece of software, that.
A man. Unbelievable stuff. And then Van Aanholt. Bernie, please tell the viewers or listeners what I said 2 weeks ago.
I can't remember the exact words. Okay. If you do, say it. But Maned basically was like, Van Aanholt's going to win the Ballon d'Or.
Okay. What I said was, I told Alex, put Van Aanholt in your team because he scores goals. And he scored
like 3-3 or something.
Exactly. And that was right before I said that. It was unbelievable.
So can you say something about the...
Okay, you know, who would you like? Rooney,
Juan Mata, everybody, please.
Yeah. So before we move on from the Premier League, like Bernie, you did touch up on this, the table. Leicester are currently 3 points ahead. 15 games to go still. City in second. Arsenal tied on points in second. Spurs only 2 points behind them. And United only 3 points behind Spurs. It's all in 15 games. At this point, Spurs could win the league. Like, anything is possible.
At this point, West Ham could win the league.
Yeah, West Ham
Seriously?
Yeah.
We all have seen leads that are bigger than this.
Oh, yeah.
With less time than this.
Definitely.
Go down.
Definitely.
This league is incredible.
It's crazy. Chelsea right now are in 13th.
Chelsea could win the league. Damn it.
But I mean, with that logic, Chelsea could still get relegated.
True.
They're closer to the bottom than the top, so you never know. But yeah, that pretty much sums up a crazy weekend of the Premier League. So I quite enjoyed it, actually. I mean, except for the Arsenal result. But it was quite
except
fun.
Except for the main result.
So we didn't really enjoy the weekend.
But I enjoyed the Chelsea result.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on to Moomoo of the Week.
Moomoo of the Week.
Of the Week. Of the Week.
All right. So we have some amazing Moomoos this week. I'm going to start with Santiago Quijada Alcón.
Nice.
You like how I said that?
I loved it.
Thank you. I've been practicing my Spanish. So he's a referee in the Spanish Women's League. I think it was some team, Teresa against Sporting Huelva. He decided during the game that he would approach one of the players, her last name is Pavel, and ask her out.
In the game.
Which is amazing. Right. Firstly, I mean, you know, you see a tackle, you give a yellow card or something. I don't know if she was injured and he just decided to touch her leg or something, make sure she's okay, and was like, "Hey, brown hair, would you like to go for a coffee?"
Is that a quote?
Yeah. He said, wow. "Hey, brown hair." Like, I mean, wow. Firstly, your game is weak, bro.
Yes.
Because I don't know any time I went to a club and saw a girl and said, you know, "Hey, brown hair, how you doing? Let's go for..." That is creepy on so many different
levels.
Obviously, she felt offended by this and reported him.
Obviously.
And I don't think he got the number that he was looking for.
Well, so, he knows her jersey number. I don't know if that helps in any way.
I mean...
Look her up in the game list.
He probably did give her his card. But got nowhere real fast.
That is unbelievable. My Mumu of this week. You know how we promised that Mumu doesn't happen on the field? This one, I don't know whether this is technically on the field or not. Chippenham striker David Pratt was sent off after just 3 seconds into a game against Bashley last month. And it was amazing. It was for a tackle. The ref blew his whistle. He stormed into the opposition half and just clattered the guy. It was like, I don't know what he's trying to do. Set the tone. You know, his coach was probably like, "Guys, we need to set the tone. I need to play hard." His coach must have saw that as well.
When you said
not
after
that hard.
When you said after 3 seconds. You mean 3 seconds after the kickoff or when he came on the pitch?
3 seconds after the kickoff.
The game had just started. They'd announced his name, everything, and whatever, and it's boom.
Boop. 1, 2, 3. Clatter. Red card. Which is brilliant. Okay, you think Mertesacker made the wrong choice today?
Wow.
Here's another thing. People, this is not actually the fastest red card in history. Mm-hmm. The fastest red card in history was less than 3 seconds. And what happened was the player was standing there about to kick off. The ref blew his whistle. And literally, the minute the ref blew his whistle, the player standing next to the ref went, "F me, that was loud," and like held his ear. Or I've given him a red card.
I can't breathe. Oh my God.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I don't know who the Mumu is there, the ref or the player.
Not sure.
But
not sure.
I know we don't have time for it to go into it, but Youssoufa, whatever his name is.
Youssoufa Yafa. Yeah.
Brilliant name. Yeah. AC Milan signed him. They thought he was 19. Yeah. Turns out he was 28.
Yes, and the bad thing about that is people think, well, okay, whatever, you're going to get your contract rescinded for lying about your age. But apparently, a few years back, he was charged with some sexual assault case, and he was treated as a minor. Mm-hmm. So now they are looking back at it as not a minor, which is, that's just a punch in the balls.
Brilliant. Brilliant police work.
Yes.
Absolutely brilliant. They should carbon date everyone when they do a crime. Yes.
All right, so quick visit to La Liga. So Barca beat Malaga 2-1 away. It was quite a tough game. Malaga looked really good, actually, throughout the game. Munir and Messi scoring. But the highlight there was Mascherano. You heard about his one-year jail sentence for tax fraud.
Well, the sentence that got suspended, so he's not actually going to jail.
Right. So what happens? I mean, why do celebrities never go to jail?
Because I think what happens is they pay big fines, and then they go, okay, fine. He'll pay this big fine and do community service, and we're okay with that. Which is still, I mean, if I did it, I'd still go to jail.
Right. But it's more beneficial to the society, to the community, for him to pay a lot of money than go and sit in jail for a year.
I think he should go to jail. If you do a crime, you should go to jail. And Mascherano should go to jail, and I really hope Messi goes to jail, because I want someone else to win the Ballon d'Or.
So Barca got the 3 points there. Atletico actually dropped 2 points, drawing with Sevilla, 0-0, which is crazy, because, I mean, they were up there, and now they've given Barca the lead back. Barca currently sitting on the same points as Atleti, but have a game in hand because of the Club World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Atletico will be kind of disappointed there. Betis is playing Madrid as we speak.
Betis are actually leading 1-0 after 22 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
So I wrote out the table, mm-hmm. you know, for the La Liga, and I was like, assuming a Madrid win, they're at 46 points. Okay, I guess we're going to have to wait for that. But if Madrid win, they're on 46, which is 2 points behind Barca. If they lose, they're 5.
In regards to Madrid, you know, we have another player, I think it was Keylor Navas, that came out and said the same thing about, hey, Benitez wasn't bad, but we all really, really like Zidane, which is a very politically correct way of saying, screw off, Benitez, we don't care about you, and now we're really happy that this guy's letting us play.
I really don't get that sometimes. I mean, I get it at a younger age. You got to love your coach. You got to have a great relationship. But at one point, it's going to be professional. And, you know, you play football tactically, and you just do the right thing on the field, regardless of who your coach is.
I heard a quote, and people were talking about that Rafa Benitez does not have the human element.
Yes.
Right? Which Jose Mourinho has at times.
He's not a bad manager.
He loses it, and then Pep has with his players and people like that. And obviously Carlo Ancelotti.
Arsene, for example.
But I heard the quote about his Liverpool days. So, Fernando Torres had just had a baby.
Yeah.
And then I think it was after a game, Torres played well or something like that. And then in training, Benitez came up to him and said, hey, congratulations. And Torres was like, oh, thank you, it's a girl. And Benitez went, oh, no, I meant for tracking back.
Wow, like, this is
exactly what Benitez is. He doesn't have that human.
Yeah, he's not a man. Okay, if you really want to put coaches in two categories and you want to play a black and white, you've got man managers and you've got tacticians. Mm-hmm. Definitely, Benitez is more in the tactician column than the man manager. Yeah. Arsene Wenger is more in the man management column than the tactician. Like, right, you get those.
Arsene Wenger comes to your house with presents for your baby.
Exactly. Then you get Pep, who's a great mix of both. Right. Yes. Exactly. Anyways, so that's La Liga. I wanted to touch on PSG for a bit. I'm slightly infatuated by them. I love the way they play. Mm-hmm. I like their players individually. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they should really do well in the Champions League. Right now, they're cruising through the league. Mm-hmm. This weekend, Di Maria scored two unbelievably world-class goals.
Remind me again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got players like Matuidi, Verratti. These guys are solid. I like them a lot. And as a squad, they're great. They've got Ibra up top, Cavani, Lucas. And, you know, even the defense is great. And I think they should do really well in the Champions League. They're playing Chelsea, which they should get through.
Yes.
And then after that, it's really, you know, hit and go.
I think Paris Saint-Germain are a model. If you're going to spend money, right? I think they're a model to look out for in terms of how you spend money. And very, very similar to how City initially spent their money. It didn't translate to, you know, when they brought Silva, Aguero, Yaya at first, it didn't translate into Champions League success, obviously. I think that also has to do with quality of management at the same time. But if you look at the guys that they've assembled, and if you really want to learn how to do anything, Ed Woodward, please look at Paris Saint-Germain, because Matuidi is not quite homegrown, but, you know, that's talent. Verratti, he was young talent.
No one had ever heard of these players, literally before the PSG shirts. Exactly. Verratti, Matuidi.
Verratti came from Palermo.
Yeah.
He was the next big thing, but they spent money to get him. And then look at Thiago Silva. Yeah. I think he's one of the best central defenders in the world, but he goes unnoticed. David Luiz is an exception. I think he's crap.
Right.
But then
you've got time. Serge Aurier, you've got Maxwell. Even Maxwell is kind of refinding that form after people thought he was done, he was old. And the one thing for me is, what I like is that PSG seem to enjoy each other's company as well. A lot of players have chances to move. People wanted Verratti. People, you know, they want these players, Matuidi. And it just seems like if PSG isn't pushing them out, they're happy to stay.
I think it's a perfect situation of, you have a city which people are in love with, and it's literally City of Love, right? And it's a place where, like, everyone's really happy to be. And then they're in a league they're crushing it in, but they're good enough to do it in Europe. It's just, can they get to that next step?
We've talked about this before. They've been unlucky in the teams they've met. They've met the best teams. They've met the Barces and the Madrids, and there's no shame in losing to those guys. They haven't really underperformed in the fact, like, you know, they haven't lost to, let's say, an Arsenal. They haven't lost to Milan in the Champions League. No, they've lost to the best, and most likely to the, I think, twice or three times now, to the team that actually went on and won the whole thing. So if they beat Chelsea now, and they get to the, quarterfinals, I think they've got a good chance. They've got a good team.
I think that PSG have two areas that are of concern, and if they can fix those things, I think they're good. I think in the league, it doesn't really matter how good your goalkeeper is for Paris Saint-Germain, but I'm not really convinced by Kevin Trapp. Sirigu, I think he's already gone, right? But Kevin Trapp, he's already had some blunders and things, and in the Champions League, you need to do better than that. Now, going forward, Zlatan is Zlatan, forever a legend. He's right up there. But then you have this issue of Zlatan and Cavani, and it's still an issue. Because you have these very, very strong reports of Cavani's people approaching United and saying, hey, I want out. I don't care if it's true or not. It's just symptomatic of the fact that this guy is not completely buying into everything. And they spent 60 million on him. That is a little bit iffy for me. Yeah. I think they need to sort that out one way or the other. Because Zlatan's contract is coming to an end.
Right.
Is Cavani going to be the guy you rely on? That's a little bit iffy.
I think PSG's next chapter is really going to be life beyond Zlatan. And they have to deal with that well. They have to either step up Cavani, or are they going to go and spend big money on a player? But like we said, we've talked about how really football, it doesn't have that many world-class players anymore. It's kind of lacking a little bit. You think of strikers. Who can PSG go and buy? Lewandowski's not going to go play in the French League.
No.
Suarez is just bought recently. You're literally out of world-class options at that point. Aguero's not going to go to PSG. Like, you're done.
And you know me, I'm the nostalgia dude. But when I think about it, I think about what was around, let's say, in 2003.
Yes.
For instance, you had Henry at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Van Nistelrooy at Manchester United.
The Totti's, Del Piero. Raul at Real Madrid. Yeah.
Totti,
yeah.
Del Piero. You know, you had every Close big even team. Like you had. You know, they had big strikers and big players.
Yeah.
Now you have more inequality because you only have Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Bayern Munich as far as elite teams with elite players.
And no offense to these names, but when Benzema and Higuain are being talked about as top, top quality in strikers, that shows you that the rest aren't that good. Because to me, Benzema and Higuain in the 2000s and whatever, they're not in that bracket.
Mm-hmm.
They're a bracket above or even two below. But now, because of the lack of talent, Benzema and Higuain are like up there. They're like, ooh, who wants Higuain? Higuain! Sure, he scores his goals, but he's not that guy. He's not a guy to think best striker or in the bracket of best strikers. He's not.
I think that would be a good one for a poll on Twitter or something. See what people think. Because we're still young guys.
But
we are generally from, as we're younger and we grew up watching what we fell in love with that generation.
Yeah.
There are people that we still talk to on Twitter who, this is what they know.
Yes.
They know Higuain, they know Benzema, exactly. Lewandowski. I find it very, very difficult to get extremely excited about anyone young except for Neymar, Pogba, and Griezmann.
I'm finding it difficult to have a favorite player now. I mean, when I was growing up, easy. Henri, Beckham, Dunn, favorite players. Now people ask me, who's your favorite, even Arsenal player, as I support them? I don't know. I like them all. They play well. Ozil's great. But, there's no that connection. You lose it as you get older because you look at players and they're just so much younger than you.
The way you look at it was when you're playing Football Manager as a kid and you had that money, you could go, wow, there are so many people that I could even think people like Christian Vieri back then.
Yes,
there are people that I could look at and be like, wow, I want to spend money
on
him.
So many options.
Now when I'm playing for United, I'm like, well, Lacazette's not bad.
Yeah, I know, it's so underwhelming. You know? It's so underwhelming. I agree. Anyways, let's see how this pans out. The Champions League is coming in February. I'm quite excited for that. A few good games. La Liga is still tight. EPL is still tight. Obviously, Germany and France, I think, are pretty much done.
Yeah.
Italy, Juve are really pushing. They've won like 10 games in a row now. Something ridiculous.
But Napoli. Napoli.
Exactly. So I think it's going to be a great kind of last third of all these seasons.
Homophobic slur aside, Napoli are doing pretty well.
Oh, yeah. But that doesn't affect them on the field.
No.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go and play our other co-ed game because the season, for some reason, starts the week after we win the final.
No rest for the weary.
Yeah, so we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.